Blog Talk Radio.
Little one, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, a side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Good evening, good night, good morning, and good afternoon to everybody. I think I covered you no matter what time of day you're listening, because whenever you tune in, you are welcome. Today, you are going to hear about something that either touched you recently in the past or will touch you in the future. Either it will be somebody you love, or it may even be you. And that is the plague that is circling around society today, silently. Well, I could say destroying lives, but it's more like, it's like a plague. It's making life really on so many levels. Our guest today is Jesse Sloan, who has created a movement. Now, listen to this. Write it down, because you need to know this. Whenever it is that you encounter dementia or Alzheimer's, and there is a difference, and if you don't know what it is, feel free to contact me and I will explain the difference. You have to remember this one thing that Jesse created, which is Kick Alzheimer's Ass Movement. Got that? Because if you don't do that, it will kick your ass. And you don't want that to happen. Today, we welcome Jesse Sloan because he has had Alzheimer's hit her. Not one time, but more than one time and more than one level. So when we talk about the Alzheimer's and dementia, we're talking about one specific symptom, but we're also talking, if we do it a little bit further, and speaking about other debilitating handicaps that put you in a situation where you need someone to take care of you, to have any kind of contact with anyone that has dementia, Alzheimer's, and any other handicap that needs to be taken care of. You want to drop everything and you want to listen to Betsy discuss what she's doing, because she had more than one person in her life that passed by and displayed all kinds of things that she needed to step up and keep her for that specific debilitating handicap that took over their lives. So I'd like to welcome you, Betsy, and I'd like to really thank you for joining us today, because we are very lucky to have you.
Thank you, Tippy. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate your support and for having me on your show. That's very nice of you.
Thank you so much. It's, for me, something that I appreciate the journey. And I want to support anyone that is stepping up and taking the kind of responsibility, because you are in the minority. The majority of people would really stick someone they love somewhere away from their own life and not take responsibility and just basically do the minimum they can. So the few people that step up, and those are the ones, the one person in the family out of 10 people and the one person in the community out of 100 people that steps up is you, Betsy. And so I really appreciate what you do. And I really want to support what you do, because what you're doing is not about your personal responsibility that you have right now with your husband that we will talk about, but it's also about you passing forward your experience and your expertise so that other people have a lot of insight of things that you had to learn the hard way. And I love the name Kick Alzheimer's Ass Movement, and I'm not going to go anywhere until you explain, first of all, how you came up with that name and why.
Okay. I started hashtagging, I think, back in the fall, hashtag Kick Alzheimer's Ass Movement, because I let Alzheimer's defeat me twice. My mother-in-law, I took care of her for 5 years. I didn't take care of my dad, but he also passed from dementia. And my husband will also die from this horrible disease. And, you know, sometimes I do feel down, but I'm not out. It's very easy to get defeated by this disease and to let it take you down. And I said, you know what? It's a mindset. I have two choices. I could sit on the floor in a heap and cry, which wouldn't do anybody any good, or I'm going to come out swinging or kicking and kick Alzheimer's ass. And people think, well, how do you kick a disease's ass? Because in my mind, Alzheimer's is a monster. And whenever I post on my own personal page, whenever I talk on the radio, whenever I help somebody, I am kicking Alzheimer's ass. I am raising awareness. And I refuse to let this disease have any more power than what it already has. I will not let it take me down. I have too much work to do. There's too much work to be done out in my community after my journey is over with Matt, which I things I can't do now. And my town and where Matt grew up will know who he is, because I will honor his life and his memory. I get a little emotional. I get a little foot clumped. and, you know, I want to help other people navigate these waters. There was nobody for me. I was alone for 14 years before I could even get on Facebook to do, you know, when I went crazy joining groups.
Right.
And then, right. You know, it really, I thought about it, you know, starting a group. And what happened was I heard it on the internet. It was a women's summit, Shattered Women's Rising Summit by Erin Lay. And I had talked to Erin, and she said, Betsy, this is your passion. Why are you going to wait until after Matt dies? This is your passion. Right. Do it now. Of course, I get my anxiety attack, my panic attack. Oh, no, I can't do that. I'm not a leader. I can't do it. And lo and behold, don't call it karma, whatever you want. I met Lori Lepore through doing a video, and she contacted me, and she said, Betsy, let me start this for you. Let me start the page for you. I know you're busy. You could take over when you can. Let me do this for you. And her sister was dying at the time. She said, let me do this for you. I want to honor my sister, and I want to kick Alzheimer's ass. And so that's the universe, or the God drive the glory in my lap. And you know what? It was like, well, this is a wake-up call. This is what I needed. Yes, I am going to start this. And
so, yeah, you definitely prove that when you want to do something, it will be there for you, knock on your door, and really you're the one that has to say, okay, I'll take it, or I'm not ready, and nah, I'm going to take it. So I think that in the name of full transparency, I'm going to say that I am going through the same thing with my mother, and I find, and I don't know if I'm attracting it, but I find so many people in this situation, whether it's a mother, a brother, a sister, a mother-in-law, father-in-law, husband, wife, whatever, I find that it's everywhere. And
yes,
thousands of people are going through it. Thousands of people are going through it alone. There's a lot of things that I went through alone that I think people should not go through alone. And I would love to... Well, not thousands of things. I always say that, but I'm exaggerating. But there are things. And having to come, and first of all, to go through this journey alone is much, much harder than it would be if you go through it with someone else where you can call up and say, okay, look, this is what's happening. What do I do? And somebody that maybe even give you a teeny-weeny little perspective that's different than you being overwhelmed. Because if you don't, like for you, you've been through it more than once. And I'm sure 100%, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the first time was the toughest because you were on the learning curve and you didn't know what you were doing. Is that true?
Exactly. 100% true.
Right.
Absolutely.
So from your pain, why not help other people not have to go through it? It's going to be tough enough, even if you know a lot. Why not help people go through it with the support? And you know another vision that you said that I really have to mention, which is I look at Alzheimer's or a dementia as a monster. And when you look at something as a monster, it may be something that you want to defeat. And you may make it possible to actually defeat it because now you have, this is what it is. This is how I'm going to get over it and defeat it and make it small, not a big monster, a small, teeny, weeny, weeny monster until it disappears. And I think that's what your movement is doing. It's making people realize that it does not have to throw you down and keep you down for a while, that you really could stand up a lot sooner than you think. Like, you can do this movement way before he's gone and you find the time to do it. How is that?
Yes. I'm not as active as I would like. And of course, when Lori said, you know, let me help you, of course, my panic attack starts again, my anxiety. Yeah. Oh no, is she going to take over? Is it going to be the way I want? I mean, thousand things go through my brain, but I do find you know, the time. This is a great group, and not saying it just because I started it. This is, you don't even have to have dementia or somebody with dementia. I don't require that. This is for people who want to learn about Alzheimer's or any dementia. I welcome all dementias, who want to be inspired, who want to help people. We have a great group. We're like a family. And if I'm not available, which I'm not a lot of the time, there's other women who are so strong in that group that jump in and help other people. I have a tremendous group of women there and men who are willing to step up and help others. And hopefully, you know, when you help another caregiver and inspire them, then that will hopefully inspire that caregiver to go help someone else, and then they can feel good about themselves. Because me personally, I get like a natural high from helping people. I always love to help people. I've always been a caregiver. I worked as a nurse for many years. So it's just in my nature. some people it's not, but I want to help people. I want to inspire them. I want them not to make the same mistakes that I made. I want them to encourage them to educate themselves about their loved one's dementia. Education is extremely important. I can't even stress it enough. Learn this disease. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to this. And so we also have educational topics on our page. We have people who vent. And yes, you are allowed to curse. Just don't curse somebody out. Excuse me.
Yes.
I don't have any, really, the only rules we have is to be kind, no judgment, and no bullying, or you will be bounced out. We don't tolerate that. I won't tolerate it. Really, I just want to inspire people. And, you know, Tippy, from the summit, I learned, because I spoke to other people, I feel like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. I didn't know I had these gifts. People told me. I'm deeply honored and blessed for people to share with me and to tell me, Betsy, you helped me. Betsy, you inspired me. It really brings tears of joy to my eyes. It makes my heart feel full. And so I had this power and I had these gifts and I didn't know it until recently. And then I'm like, you know what? I got to use this. I have to do something with this. And so that's another reason why I want to start this hashtag Kick Alzheimer's Ass, because I would see in groups people feeling defeated, people feeling sad and depressed. And yes, I do get sad. And yes, I do get depressed. And yes, I do have meltdowns, but I don't stay there. And yes, I do get angry, but I have to turn my anger into something positive, and that's how I started to do videos. It's okay to be angry, but use it in a proper way so that it doesn't destroy you. Same thing with guilt. There's justifiable guilt, unjustifiable guilt. People always look back. Sure, hindsight's 20/20. I should have, I would have, I could have. You know what? This disease is going to do its thing. No matter what you do or don't do, we all do our best. We all want to fix our loved ones. We can't. That's the reality. All we could do is to love them, let them know that they're loved, keep that human touch. Even if they're in a facility, even if they're home, they're at the end of their life. They can hear. Unless they're hard of hearing, hearing is the last sense to go. Talk to them. Tell them you love them. Tell them even it's okay to go on. You will be okay. Personally, yes, we are torn between having our loved ones with us and letting them be free of this disease. I love my husband enough to let him go. I'd rather him not suffer. And I really don't want to see him suffer through stage 7, but it's not up to me, it's in God's hands. And I believe that, this is my belief, that God will give me the grace and strength, excuse me, at that time, and not before that time. So, you know, everyone has their own beliefs, whatever gets you through, this is what's going to get me through. I can't fall in this.
Actually touched on so many things, and I think it's going to be overwhelming if we don't go back one second and take a look at it. So first of all, you created a group on Facebook called hashtag Kick Alzheimer's Ass Movement. Is that what you're really saying?
Right, Kick Alzheimer's Ass Movement.
Okay,
yes.
So
So there is a group on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and you go to the search and you put hashtag Kick Alzheimer's Ass Movement, you will find this group. And if I want to join the group, what is the criteria for me to join?
You just have to click on that you'd like to join. Just contact us. And we will add you. You could actually PM me. You can go on the page, and it has, invite, and you could just join. I don't have
okay, so what screening. What do you require? You don't have any requirements? Anybody can
no
join?
No requirements. Anyone can join.
Anybody can join. Anybody
can
join.
Anyone
that is either going through this process, or anybody that just wants to learn about it, or anybody that is just interested, or anybody that wants to help people go through it, that has gone through it, everybody is welcome on the page. You only ask them, don't be impolite. So that was one of the things I wanted to clarify, because I wanted to be very clear that there is this group and that it is growing. How many members do you have right now?
The last time I looked, I think it was the other day, I want to say maybe 173, could be up to 176, not sure, but I think at least 173 members. And we just started, I think, in February.
Okay, so there you go. If you're listening to this and you want to join the group very easily, just go and request it, and you will join it. That's not a problem. Another thing that you said, that I found that I loved, and it's just my personal preference. You said there's a whole bunch of very strong women in this group, and then you added and men. And I want to tell you I'm very grateful that you did that, because I personally detest women groups. I know that a lot of people get empowered and think that's so wonderful. Anything that is excluding something to me personally is really not something I will join. So I will never go, and this is not, I'm not in the judgment of anybody else that goes. I will never go to a women's gym or a women's group, so a women's meeting. And part of it is because I grew up in a cult where men and women were always separated. And after a while, when you get hurt by something, it literally makes you throw up and it causes a lot of pain. So I really appreciate the fact that you said that. I just wanted to mention that, because I don't know if anybody else feels that way about segregating men and women, but I'm definitely one that I'm totally against it. Even though I do believe that men and women should be equal, it's not that I don't think so. I think women definitely can get much more empowered with a men's perspective. I don't think they need to segregate themselves. I don't like the idea of men segregating either, but I'm not a man, so I really don't care what they do. Another thing that you said that is really important to me, you said, I get a natural high helping people. It's just in my nature. And I really have to address that, even though this is about dementia, I have to address that you said it, because you did say that. And so there is right now this dynamic in our planet of light and darkness. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of evil things going on. But anytime there is a lot of darkness, there's always a light growing really bright. And so the natural desire and the natural need to help people and to get a high by helping people is the natural state of the human being. Every person is born that way if they're human. If someone is damaged somewhere along the line, and because there's a lot of cruelty and child abuse of all kinds of forms, some of them are very blatant and strong and others are very subtle, but your human nature gets squashed and that natural high gets warped. So it is in everybody's nature, and everybody gets a natural high when they help people. If you do not get that, then you have either a personality disorder, like you could be a narcissist, sociopath, a psychopath. There's a million other personality disorders that I've never heard of. But if you don't get a natural high, then there's something, you've been wounded. And if I were you, I would check out and see what it is, because it's the human condition. When we are told to love others outside of ourselves as we love ourselves, It's not a commandment that we do it. It's in our nature that when we follow nature, we naturally get into a higher place. And a higher place, as you put it, a natural high. So I'm really happy that you are a part of those people, because the more of us there's around, the easier it will be to defeat the darkness altogether. And even though we're talking about dementia, I really do want to appreciate that when something happens to you, if something is happening to you, just like with Betsy, and you go over it and you overcome it and you have this unstoppable desire to help other people go over it, you're one of us. You are the person that gets a natural high helping people. And I don't know if it's the law of attraction, but there's a lot of people like that around. Do you find a lot of people like that around you, Betsy?
There are. In my movement, yes. There are many. They're all wonderful. And I don't require people to participate either. To be people, you know, say, well, I don't participate, I don't have time. That's fine. Even if you read a post and you benefit from it, that's fine. You don't have to participate. If reading a post helps you, then do it. I am surrounded by very, I don't know the proper word, wonderful, compassionate human beings, men and women, who have went through, you know, losing a spouse, losing a parent. It's just they want to help other people navigate these waters. And to help and give guidance, because they know what it's like to lose somebody to this disease. They know what it's like to be so down. I even had people tell me they felt suicidal because they were so down. And I recommend therapy. I just want to say that I went for therapy. I recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, I think therapy is a luxury that if you can afford it, you should not let it pass you. And I think, so yeah, that's my answer. You are surrounded by those kind of people and you are genuine. And that's one of the beautiful things about you. And then another thing that you touched on before we go on to dementia that I really want to talk about is personal, a little bit more personal, but you said something about, and your words were, I had this power, but I didn't know. And I just want to let everybody know, you all have this ability, or you can call it power, inside of you to create and to lead a movement. If you've never done it before and you're afraid to do it, but you want to do it, you must do it, because the only way to overcome this think of, I can't do it, I don't deserve it, I have never done anything like that before, is really to just get up and do it. And that's what you did, Betsy. And once you got up and once you did it, how did that go for you?
It, you know, so wonderful, because when you do something that's as normal as breathing, and it's your passion, you have to do it or you won't be happy. I didn't know that I inspire people. People have told me this, and I was flabbergasted, because when I started my videos 2 years ago, it really was from a place of anger. And I was thinking, no one's going to listen to me. I might as well just say what I feel like. And I did say what I felt like, and people responded. And they said, Betsy, you're saying how we feel. You're saying exactly how we feel. Thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for helping me. I just really would just sit and cry when I would read these comments. I do have... And I talked to a life coach about this. I do have a problem you know, people thinking that I'm a hero and putting me on a pedestal because I don't want that. I'm just like they are. But a person explained it this way. She said, Betsy, you're not being egotistical. People are telling you. You helped them. You threw them a lifeline. So to them, you are a hero. And you need to accept that. And, you know, just embrace what people are telling you. And I have learned to finally embrace who I am. The good parts of me, the bad parts. You know, we don't see ourselves as people see us. Someone told me the other day, oh, Betsy, you sound poised and confident when you talk. And they only knew my anxiety before I go talk.
Well, the thing about anxiety is that you can have all the anxiety you want, but as long as you don't show it, you're okay. But I wanted to go somewhere even more important than that. You're right now right in the middle of taking care of your husband, Matt.
Yes.
And it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And last time we talked, he was in a little bit of a better place. And obviously, he's deteriorating. Where is he at now, and where does that put you?
Matt is now in stage 7. Matt had a sudden change of mental status. He was almost two weeks ago, severely agitated. His hallucinations were worse. And I called up the doctors, and they said, well, you know, get him tested for infection, go to the emergency room. I really didn't want to do that because I didn't want him being mistreated. And I did go because I, you know, if he had an infection, I wanted it taken care of. He didn't have an infection. He was mistreated in the emergency room. And I asked the neurologist, okay, there's no infection. Does that mean he went into the next stage? And he said, yes, his Alzheimer's is advancing. And my neurologist isn't really big on stages, but he said, yes, he is in stage 7. And even though I've been dealing with this with 3 different, you know, people, and that's the 3rd one, it still hits you like a sledgehammer. You can read about it. You could be as prepared as you want to be, but you're still going to grieve. I still was grieving. I got very, very down, heartbroken, but I still have to push through. I have to support my, be supportive for my son who has special needs, my son Joshua. I just can't, you know, fall apart. I have to keep going. It's more difficult taking care of Matt. Experimenting with the medications. I don't want him to be a zombie, but I don't want him to be agitated and going off the wall either. And it's really experimental finding that balance with the medication.
What kind of drugs are you experimenting with?
Seroquel and Klonopin.
Klonopin. Can you spell it?
Let me get the
Okay, just say, I don't care. Just spell it out so I can understand what you're saying.
I have to go get his
medicine.
You
don't have to spell it correctly. Just spell it by sound.
Because I don't know how to spell it.
How do you say it? I don't care how you spell it. Say it slowly.
Klonopin. Klonopin?
Say it slowly. C-L-A-R-T-I-N?
Okay. Klonopin.
Okay. I don't want to spend any more time on that. But what is this Seroquel supposed to do and this Klonopin supposed to do?
Yeah, Seroquel is for the hallucinations. And the Klonopin is
supposed to take
away
the hallucinations?
Yes, to control them. And
Is it taking it away? Are you seeing that he's hallucinating less when he takes it?
Not 100%, but it's not as volatile. Oh, here, Tippy, I found it, the bottle. I could spell
it. Doesn't
it.
Matter. I don't want to spend time on that. It's not important. I have a lot more important, and we're running out of time. So it's supposed to be for the hallucination, and you're saying that it works or it doesn't work?
I can't give him a whole tablet. It knocks him out too much. I don't like the side effects.
What
the
are the
Klonopin? With the Seroquel, the stiffness, he gets stiff, the drooling, in a very sleepy, very drowsy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also with the Klonopin also has the, different side effects. It's more like a sedative calming.
What is the Klonopin supposed to do?
Calm him down.
Just calm him down when he's agitated?
Yeah.
Calm down.
It's supposed to calm him down.
Does
so,
it calm him down?
It does. But if I give him a half a tablet, because I talked to the doctor about giving him a half, a whole is too much for him. Way too much. And then
what would happen if you didn't give him at all the Seroquel and the Klonopin? What would happen?
Oh, I tried that experiment. It's funny you say that. I gave it to him for a week, took a few days off, and he went off the wall again, yelling, screaming.
So do you think it's because you took him off something that he got used to, or that this actually controls him so that he doesn't do it? Because before he took it, was he going that crazy? Like he was after you took him off?
He was hallucinating before, but he was getting agitated where I thought he was going to hit me.
Before?
Yes.
Before you started giving it to him? Oh,
yes.
Okay, I get it. But what I'm trying to figure out is if it's possible that his agitation is from the fact that he took it and you took it away, or that he would have had that agitation without it even to begin with. That's what I was trying to establish.
He's getting agitated, I think, because of the hallucinations. Because he thinks somebody's hitting him in the head and hitting Josh in the head.
Oh, okay. And that's when
he
started giving it to him, because he started hallucinating about getting hit in the head.
Right. I mean, he was before, but he wasn't as agitated. And I actually have a video on my own Facebook page. I think I have it on the Kickoff Hammer's Ass also, of Matt being agitated a couple weeks ago before the medicine kicked in. He was really aggressive.
So he's now deteriorating. How is that affecting you?
It's affecting me because the reality hits more. Like, I know the end result of this disease is death. There's just no escaping it. And then it hits home. I could lose him any day. We don't know. This disease is unpredictable. It doesn't run a smooth course. There's no way of knowing. I asked the doctor, how long, and he goes, he can't answer that. He said, it could be years, it could be months, it could be days, nobody knows. And, Matt takes, he's more incontinent, he's total care. Matt does still eat, slowly, but he eats, and his moods could change in an instant. He could be fine.
So how does it affect you?
And then, boom. It gets me sad. Very sad. And, yes, I do get depressed because I really have to start thinking of life without Matt. And I've known Matt more than half my life. I met Matt when I was – no, I got married at 22, and I'm 61. So we're married 38 years.
Wow.
And I've known him, more
That's
than
like
half my
lifetime.
Life. And, yeah.
Wow.
And
that's got to be tough. So when you look ahead and you know that ultimately, whether in 1 year or in 5 years, you'll have to live the rest of your life by yourself, which basically the choices you have now is either by yourself or taking care of him, because obviously he's not going to be taking care of you. So the choices either way are tough. What do you think? Do you make plans? Like, what goes through your head?
What goes through my head is I hope Matt dies peacefully in his sleep. I don't want him to suffer. I don't want Josh to find him dead. I would rather find Matt dead. I hope that that I can survive this with my sanity and health intact. And I want to go out, you know, in my community and do things I can't do now. And I also want to have fun again and live again. And I do think about that. There's nothing wrong with thinking about enjoying your life after caregiving. That's what I want to do. I want to enjoy my life after caregiving. And I want to live my life for myself and live it in Matt's memory. And I would never, you know, marry again, but I would consider dating again.
Why would you never marry again?
Once was enough for me.
Why? It wasn't
you
good?
Know? Once is enough for me.
It was
I
not
just
good.
Set my
That's
ways.
Why you don't want to do it again?
What's that?
It wasn't good, so you don't want to do it again?
I'm just set in my ways now. I mean, I know what I don't want in a marriage. You know, Matt and I had some rough times. He was not, he was really kind of a disappointment in many ways. But I mean, he was a good hard worker, a good father. He just didn't, he always had trouble thinking. Like, he wouldn't plan dates or, you know, he just didn't think. I didn't realize that Matt was very self-centered until we moved in with his mother. And, you know, I just too set my ways now. But I do know what I don't want in a relationship next time. And I just, you know, I do want to do my Alzheimer's work, but I also want to have fun. And I don't know what fun is anymore. So I do want to go out to social, you know, social functions and, you know, just go to a movie if I want, go to a dance and just have fun. I mean, people might think, oh, Betsy, that's terrible. How can you think like that? You know, your husband's dying. Well, you know what? This might sound awful, but just because my husband is going to die, that doesn't mean I have to die too. Life is for living, and
exactly.
That's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Lord willing.
Exactly. I don't understand why people would say that to you, but I do understand why they would say that to you. So I like the fact that you're planning what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. You have a lot of life left in you. You have a lot of energy left in you. And you definitely should be doing a lot of things that you want to do. The fact that you cannot do it now is just not fair. But I think the sacrifice that you're making in taking care of your husband is a sacrifice that always pays off. But it's not something that you have to sacrifice the rest of your life. And that's the good thing about it. I have no idea what I'm going to do after, because I am so involved with taking care of my mom, which takes up most of my time, that I can't even think about it. It's scary. I don't know where I'm going to go exactly. I know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to take your advice. And I think everybody should take your advice and go out and have some fun and enjoy life and follow your passion. Go on and do the thing that makes you feel, as you put it, a natural high. I can't think of anything more fun to do than get a natural high. And if it's, your natural high is helping people, then go get high all day long. Everybody will be happy. You'll get high and other people will get the benefit. And that's really a nice thing to do. And I think that the fact that you're building a group and the fact that there's other people, there's always going to be people that need you. Do you sense that?
Yes. People are, you know, they're looking for guidance, especially people that are new to this. And, I mean, I'm still learning. I learn from other caregivers all the time. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything, so I'm still learning. This disease is a learning process. And, you know, if I need an idea or suggestion, I'll reach out and say, hey, you know, I even did that one time in the before I even started this group, getting Matt into the bathtub where he couldn't see, and someone suggested a bright colored bath mat. So I brought one, and that helped. Just people are looking for help. They're looking for inspiration. They do get down. They do get depressed. And I'll say this, Tippi, if a person already has mental health issues, this is not going to help it.
For sure not.
At all. It's not going to help it at all. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I might need an antidepressant or anti-anxiety pill. That's okay. You know, people feel guilty, and I feel so bad. My heart breaks. I'm an empath. I feel other people's pain. The guilt that people feel because they had to place their loved one is unjustifiable. There's no, should be no guilt. You did the best you can. And if you have limitations or you know your limitations, that's okay. And people have to realize it's okay to say, I can't
do this. Not to go through
this.
Guilt.
Yes.
Not to go through the guilt trip.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Don't go through the guilt trip because nobody's perfect and there's always something to feel guilty about.
Right. I felt guilty the other day.
Advice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I felt really bad because Monday I wanted to take Matt to the mall and Josh, but Matt was too agitated. I had to give him some medicine. And I said, Josh, I got to get out. I got to get out by myself. I only do that maybe once every 2 or 3 months. And I felt to be so guilty that I went out and I said, you know what? I shouldn't feel guilty. I need to listen to my own advice. I need to be recharged. I can't serve from an empty vessel. And I needed to recharge my batteries. And so I felt like a mixture of being recharged but still having that little bit of guilt. And as women, you know, men probably do too, but I think as women in society, we're supposed to be super women, you know, do this and do that and have it all. And it's not just sometimes it's just not possible.
Exactly. So we are running out of time, Betsy, but I really would love for you to give people any other advice or insight, because you've given a lot already, and you've given way more than I thought we were even going to be able to talk about. But what advice would you give people to take with them, they think, when at any stage?
Education. Educate yourself about this, your loved one's dementia. Find out what caregiving is about before you commit to that. A lot of people don't know. I worked as a nurse. I didn't even know what caregiving was really all about 24/7. Education. Learn about the medications your loved one is on. Learn about the different stages. Use it as a guideline. Not everybody is going to follow everything. Watch videos. YouTube is full of information. The internet is full of information. Really, education as knowledge is power, and you need to be knowledgeable dealing with doctors. You need to know what you're
right.
talking about, and run to a lawyer, get your power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
medical, financial,
mm-hmm.
Update your will, and don't be afraid to ask your loved one what their wishes are for when they die. We're afraid to talk about death,
mm-hmm.
and death is a part of life, and we need to know what their wishes are.
Right.
And don't
right.
let this disease defeat you. It's a mindset. You have to think positive, even in a negative situation, and say to yourself, you know what? I am a kick-ass caregiver, and I'm not going to let this disease defeat me. Don't give it the power.
Right.
You have the power. And
that
thank you so much for having me, Tippi. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that is so profound. And I think if you haven't gotten everything because it's kind of hard to get it, listen to this again. You can just rewind and listen to it so that you can get every teeny bit of information that Betsy has given us tonight. Betsy, you've given us so much information and so much insight. And also your energy is so wonderful and so charming that it's relaxing, and it's nice to listen to you. So if you're a caretaker and you put that person to bed, your loved one, and you want to just sit down and relax and rejuvenate, I think listening to you would be a really nice gift, and it would also give you a lot of energy and a lot of power to go and take on the next day. And yes, Betsy, you are inspirational. Definitely can lead people, and that's the wisdom that you learn from experience. And one of the things that I've learned from listening to you today is jump into it, handle it, take care of it, throw a fit or two, yell, scream, smile, do whatever it takes, but kick the ass out of it.
That's
get
right.
Get it out of your way. Get it done. That's the...
Yes.
That's the bottom line. That's really the bottom line. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you do it and you maintain a semblance of integrity, and you learn, and whatever it is that you learn, pass it forward. People need to hear it. People need to know what you know. Betty, I am really grateful for what you're doing, and I'm really grateful that you joined us. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. This is Tippi Felsenstein. I'm talking to Betsy about taking care of people with dementia. And it's been a really informative hour and really powerful for people in that situation. I would suggest to you that if you're not in that situation, listen and learn, because I promise you, you will get hit up with it one way or the other. Definitely get hit up with it. For me, what I've gotten from it, and I'm going to go and do that, is make plans. What are you going to do when this is over? I've been afraid to do it, and thank you. It's almost like I needed to get permission. Make plans what you're going to do, because you don't have to die. You don't have to squash your spirit out of existence. So I am going to fantasize about my life and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to let the law of attraction and God bring it into my life.
That's great to be in. You know, thank you for having me on your show. I feel very honored for you to ask me to be on your show, and an hour went by so fast.
I know, it's crazy when you have fun and you get high and you do the things that you love and you're passionate about. Time becomes irrelevant, because time does not even exist anymore. And so I want to bid everyone again good night, good morning, good afternoon, good holiday, and good day. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a treat, and I'm going to put on some shamanic music, which is relaxing and spiritual, and it's going to calm you down. And also, if you're ever stressed out and you want to calm down before you go to sleep, you listen to this music, and it is going to make you sleep so nice and comforting and serene. So sit back, enjoy the music, and let your talent be your potion. Thank you, Betsy.